God bless you, Seth, as you come.
Good morning. I don't know if it's too late to say Merry Christmas. Is it too late for that? Merry Christmas? Happy New Year? I guess I could start with that too. Well, thank you so much for welcoming us back again. And thank you, Pastor, for giving me the opportunity to just be able to share a little bit about Malawi, but more specifically, just to share God's word with you, as that's really my passion, and that's really what we're trying to do in Malawi, is that's the main goal, to share the word of God with the people in Malawi. So I'd just like to pray before I begin. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for today, for this morning. We thank you for all the wonderful things that you've done for us, and as we're going through or coming through this season of Christmas and into the new year, as we're looking ahead at the things that you would have us do in this new year, Lord, I pray that you would remind us that you're the one that's in control, that you're the one that's sitting on the throne, that you rule the world with truth and grace. And Lord, that can bring us comfort and joy in this time, this season of new beginnings. We know that you are there for us and that you're the one that's helping us. So Lord, I pray that even this morning as we look to your word, that you would be here with us, that you would help us, that as we open up your word, that you would give us insight, that you would guide us and direct us by your Holy Spirit to understand your word so that it wouldn't end here, but that your word would live within us. And that as we go out from here into the neighborhoods around this area, Lord, that we would let our light shine and that others would be able to see our lives and that they would give glory to you. So Lord, we thank you for the things that are happening here in Petersburg, the things that are happening in Malawi and all over the world, for the work that you're doing and that you have chosen us to be a part of that, each one of us here. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Pastor Mark had said that maybe sometimes after reading our letters, you wonder how can we do what we do, and maybe it's because we're young. But really, it's because we're not alone in the work that we're doing. We're not alone in Malawi, and we're not alone even here in the States. We have people that are advocating for us. You are our partners. You're partners with us, both in prayer and finances. And I really should start off this morning just by thanking you individually and collectively as the church for partnering with Emily and I in the mission and in the ministry that we're a part of. Thank you for being a part of us with what we're doing. We would not be able to do what we're doing without people partnering with us. We don't receive a salary from Teen Missions. Everything that we receive is by people like you that are giving the money that you're making and helping to support Emily and I. So all the finances that we receive are, we would say we're faith-based by people that have agreed to support us financially. So in this new year of 2019, we're about 68% fully funded for the year. So that means we're still looking for about 24 families or individuals to agree to support us at about $50 a month. So that kind of is working out our budget. That's what we're aiming towards. And we know that God can and will do more than we can even imagine. But thank you guys for the partnership that you have been with Emily and I for a number of years now. I was sharing in Sunday school this morning, and I think I like to share this every time I come, that, I mean, we really started with you guys when we came to the missions conference in 2012, a week after we had been married. Some of you remember that we were on our honeymoon, and we came back, I think, the same day that the missions conference started, maybe a Friday night or a Thursday night or something, and we walked in. So that was, I mean, we had the beginning with you guys right here. So thank you. Thank you for being a part of what we're doing even from that time back then. I'm always excited to be able to come back here and share with you about the work that's happening in Malawi and the things that we're doing, but I understand that some of you may be new since the last time Emily and I were here. So my name is Seth Phippen, and I grew up here in the Hoosick area, so I'm kind of a local. And then that's my wife, Emily, and our kids, James and Lauren, and Emma is 2 months old. I think she's sitting under the seat. She's trying to hide under there, stay warm or something. So, so that's my family. Some of you may know my parents, David and Diane Phippen, in Hoosick. They have the dairy farm there. And I like to share that I'm a local guy, because I think for me, I mean, it's encouraging to me to know that God can use anybody. And if God can use somebody like me, just from Hoosick, who grew up on a dairy farm playing baseball for the Hoosick Falls team, he can use anybody. And so I hope that's an encouragement for you and for your family too, that the Lord is calling and using people all over. And maybe that's you, or maybe that's your neighbor. And so who knows what the plan is that the Lord has. Maybe he's called you to be that light to reach your neighbor and to share his love with them so that they can be a part of the work that God is doing too, both here and also around the world. So thank you guys for the partnership that you have with us. Emily and I have been working with Teen Missions as staff for, I think, maybe 4 years now, going on 4 years. But before that, we both started with Teen Missions individually. I went to Teen Missions when I was 15 years old. Teen Missions has a summer program that they do every summer where they youth from all around the states mostly, but even all around the world, sign up for a missions trip with them and then go to Florida for a 2-week training period. And then after that, the 2 weeks of training, they are sent off on their missions project, wherever it is that they're going, being fully trained for the work that they're going to be a part of. So I went when I was 15 and Emily went when she was 17. And it was through that I heard about the Bible school that Teen Missions has in Florida. And so after I graduated high school here, I went down to Florida to join their Bible school, and that was where I met Emily. And after graduating the Bible school, we did an internship. Then after we got married, and then we did an internship with Teen Missions in Malawi. And that was the first experience that we had with Teen Missions in Malawi before we had kids. And then it was a couple of years after that the Lord called us back, gave us the opportunity to be able to go there. And we've now been serving in Malawi for a little over a year and a half with the kids. And then January 9th, you could mark on your calendar to be praying for us, because that's the day we fly back now with our third child. So be praying for us through the transition now of bringing a newborn into the country. When we first moved there, Lauren had just turned one. So now Emma's going to be a little bit smaller than that. But we know the Lord is with us, and he'll give us what we need, even on the airplane, right? He'll help us through that. So, and I should also just make note that the Websters came and visited us also in March, right? March into April for a few weeks. And so I should also appreciate you and thank you for helping to send them there to help us. That was a huge blessing. And so you should also know that opportunity is also there for you to be able to come and help us out. And you can talk with them about how that worked out for their family to come over there and work alongside of us, and the impact that they've had while they were there has continued even to now. And our staff and students continue to ask about them and about you, the church where they came from, and about how things are going. So thank you. And also know that they're praying for you guys, because they know that you're a part of what's going on there with Teen Missions in Malawi. I'll just share kind of briefly, quickly about some of the work that Emily and I are a part of. I'm the national director for Teen Missions in Malawi. And so I coordinate and manage the work that Teen Missions has in Malawi. Emily's the chief financial officer for Teen Missions in Malawi, which is a pretty big job with the number of ministries and things that we work with. So kind of the tiers of the work that we do is it starts with our Bible school program. And Teen Missions has four free Bible schools throughout the country in Malawi. So it's the same program that Emily and I went through after we had graduated high school in Florida. We use the same curriculum, so we're familiar with the books and the teaching materials and the curriculum, because we were students that went through it. And then we have 16 paid staff that work with the Bible schools as the teachers and facilitators that work to coordinate the Bible schools and the work that they're doing. And when we had left in October, there were 107 students at those Bible schools. So that kind of takes most of our time, just managing the Bible schools and the students and the teachers and everything that is involved with that. And we absolutely love that. We love the students that we have. They're called and they're ready to go into the world to be missionaries for the Lord. And now they're being trained to go out and to be the light of Christ wherever that is, whether that's in Malawi or if they go to other countries or whatever. But they're willing. And so your partnership with us is not just for us, but we're also trying to help train and equip people to go into the world also. So thank you for your part and your partnership with them. With Teen Missions also, and connected with the Bible school, we also do youth mission trips during the summertime. So this last summer in 2018, we had 600 youth from Malawi that were involved in missions trips. So at each of our Bible schools, we set up the training program, just like they do in Florida, just like what Emily and I went through as teenagers. and they do their training for 10 days or 2 weeks at our Bible schools, and our students are the leaders of these trips, and then they go out to different villages or places in Malawi on their mission trips. After that, Emily and I also run 10 rescue unit programs. We call them orphan rescue units. And they work with kids that have been orphaned by AIDS, or we also have, we title them street children, that maybe they're living, maybe they have one or even both parents that are still alive, but their parents have sent them to grandma or something to take care of them. Either the parents don't have the financial means to take care of them, or they just don't want to, or it's another mouth to feed or whatever, and so they've passed them off to somebody else. So we have 10 orphan units, so that's 10 different villages where we have places set up to be able to help these kids. We provide school fees and clothes, food, materials like notebooks and pens and medical supplies, different things like that to be able to help these kids in the, you know, just with day-to-day things and the difficulty that they go through. And then Pastor Mark mentioned the Sunday school programs that we have. So we, every week in Malawi, we run 70 Sunday school programs throughout the country. And those don't only happen on Sundays, but that's Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, every day of the week. We call it Sunday school because we use the same type of a curriculum like we would do here at a Sunday school. There's a lesson and they do songs and they have puppets and things like that. And so that's why we call it Sunday school, but they go out, I mean, they happen every day of the week in Malawi. So there are 70 of those that we're running each week, and we help providing the materials, the crafts, and the lessons, and the different things that go out to those. We also, I mean, you guys have made bracelets here at the church, so those will go out to the Sunday school programs and will be used as prizes and different things like that. So as they teach the lesson and ask questions, those bracelets will go out as prizes. So now you can know how those things will be used when they go there also. And I'll mention also the pillowcase dresses, because there's been some talk about those, that the pillowcase dresses, we've received some already, and I had passed out a whole bunch of them just before I came back in October. And some of those pictures are circulating, but if you look on Facebook, they're on there too, that I have some pictures of those. But we do also receive those, the pillowcase dresses, and those go to our Sunday school programs. And they also are partnered with our AIDS Orphans and Street Children Ministry. So those are how those clothes get distributed to the kids that need them. So that's just kind of a quick overview of the things that Emily and I manage and stuff. There's 70 staff that work with teen missions in Malawi, not including Emily and I. But we're the only Western or American couple that lives and works with teen missions in Malawi. So it's just 70 Malawian staff, paid staff that work there, that work at the Bible school or the Sunday school program or the orphans program throughout the country. And we absolutely love living there. Our kids love living there. They are continue to ask about when they can go back home. James calls it his Africa home because he had to differentiate when we were in Florida with his Florida home. Because if we were out at the store and we said we were going to go home, he was a little bit confused. Wait a minute. So then he started calling it his Africa home. When are we going to go to our Africa home? So January 9th, as I said, is when we're going to fly back to Malawi. So I just want to take the next couple minutes and look at a scripture from the Bible that has been important for Emily and I, but has also been encouraging to us. And I hope that it also has the same effect, encouraging effect on you. And I thought maybe the pastor was going to preach my sermon when he started the service this morning by reading the passage of scripture that we're going to get into. But thankfully he didn't, otherwise I would have been in trouble. No. So you can turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. And we're going to start in verse 16. And I think probably everybody's pretty familiar with this passage as the Great Commission. So I'm going to go ahead and read it for us for the second time today anyway. And then I'd just like to walk through it with you and look at a couple different things and share with you why this has been an encouraging verse or a number of verses for Emily and I while we've been in Malawi. So verse 16 starts, "The 11 disciples traveled to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came near and said to them, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I'm with you always to the end of the age.'" So, as I said, I'm sure you're familiar with this passage. And being a missionary, maybe it would be appropriate for me to focus on the go therefore and make disciples. But the part that has been really encouraging to Emily and I is actually what Jesus says before that. And that's what I'd like to focus on a little bit this morning. Jesus comes to his disciples and he says to them in verse 18, "All authority has been given to me." All authority. And those are the two words that I'd like to, just for us to think about this morning and to talk a little bit about this morning, that all authority has been given to Jesus. This has been a great encouragement to Emily and I because there's been a lot of things that have happened in Malawi that we don't really know how to handle. There's a lot of things that we face even on a day-to-day basis of, you know, maybe asking questions of like, what's going to happen or how is this going to turn out or what's this going to be like? You know, where we live in a pretty remote area. We live just outside of a very, very small village. Like maybe I could say there's no stores like what we would think of as stores there. It's about a 30-minute drive to where we could find like a grocery store. And then it's a 2-hour drive to the capital city. And that's where if we needed to really go to the doctor, that would have a pretty good doctor. And we could pretty much, that's where we get our groceries and stuff like that. So, I mean, even, you know, what happens if our kids get sick or if somebody gets bit by a snake or something like that? You know, we face those questions just like you guys face those type of hard things every day, too. You know, what happens if the car breaks down or what happens if we, you know, if we get sick or, you know, we slip on the ice or something? So each one of us face these questions. Each one of us has difficulties and hardships that come in our life. And the encouraging thing for Emily and I, both whether we're here or whether we're in Malawi, is that Christ has all authority. All authority has been given to him. And this has really helped encourage us because then it's easier to see that I'm not the one that's in control of everything that's going to happen in my life. But the Lord already knows how these things are going to play out. And we know that Jesus loves us, right? I think even in Sunday school this morning, we sang Jesus loves me. So if we know that Jesus loves us, and we know that all authority has been given to him, then we have encouragement to know that the things that happen in our lives are there for a purpose, that there's a purpose for them, there's a point to them, and that the Lord is going to use those things, and that nothing's going to happen apart from that authority. Nothing's going to surprise him. So if something happens, like a sickness or an accident, we know right away because we know the Word of God that all authority has been given to him. So it's not a surprise. Although it may be a surprise to us, and it may be something that we're not expecting, we know that the Lord hasn't been caught off guard. It's not something that he's not sure how to handle. Oh no, what am I supposed to do now? I wasn't expecting this. But he knows it, and he already has the plan for it, and he's going to work it out to his purpose, for his will. The truth that all authority has been given to Christ is important. And the truth that not some authority or not most authority has been given to Christ, but all authority has been given to Christ. And it's interesting that he says this right after we're told in verse 17 about the disciples. Verse 17 says, "When they saw him, they worshiped, but some doubted." And then Jesus says, "All authority has been given to me." So Jesus understands the doubts of the disciples. And I believe that he understands the doubts that we have also. The doubts that we have that come into our mind, come into our thoughts as we think about, you know, what's next or how is this going to work out? How am I going to be able to, you know, pay off this, whatever it is, this medical bill or student loans or whatever it is, you know, he knows. So the question that we need to look at, the question that I like to think about as I read through the Bible and as I study different portions is, what does this mean for me today? That okay, that Jesus said at one point, you know, on the mountain, that all authority has been given to him, and so therefore we should go and make disciples and this and that. But what does that really look like for me? And how does this really affect, or how can it really have an effect on me today? What is it that it means? All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. It means that Christ has all control. It means that Christ has all power. It means that the mission that God has to make disciples, that he tells his disciples, go and make disciples, it means that this mission that he has, it can't be stopped. But that it's going to succeed because he has all authority. There's no way that it can be overpowered. There's no way that it can be confused because Christ has all authority. So again, this is an encouragement for Emily and I. As we live overseas and we live in Malawi, and our goal, our mission is to make disciples through the Bible school, through the orphan program, through the Sunday school program. And already there's an encouragement because we know that our work, the work that we're doing, it's not useless, it's not purposeless. But that Christ, the one who has all authority, who has sent us out, who has sent you out to make disciples, is going to fulfill that mission to make disciples. So not only is it encouraging in the day-to-day that Christ has all authority in our lives over sickness or disease or accidents or finances, but he also has the authority over our discipleship, if I can say that, our call to make disciples, so that we know that it's not a useless endeavor, but that we know that Christ is with us. As he says at the end of those verses, remember, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So no king, no president, in Malawi would be a chief, no chief, soldier, or employer can overpower the authority that God has. Isn't that good news? Isn't that encouraging? That's why there's joy. We have joy that goes out into the world. Because Christ came, and that's what we celebrated at Christmas. Now we're looking back at it. That Christ came as a baby, born in a manger, to be the king of the world. And not only a king, but the king who holds all authority, all power. So he maybe started off small as the baby in the manger, but he became the king who holds all authority. And he's the one who we need to have our trust in. If my trust is in me, or my trust is in Emily, or in our ability to figure things out, or even in the staff that we work with, that our trust is in them to be able to help us through any cultural issues we have or problems or whatever, we're going to be let down and it's going to fail. The only one who's not going to fail us is the one who holds all authority. He's got all the playing cards. He knows how everything is going to work out. And so let's put our trust in him. We never know the different things that are going to come, that we're going to face in our lives. I said that Emily and I live in a pretty remote area. There's snakes around, you know, poisonous snakes, and there's crocodile that live in the river right next to us. We've seen a hippo out our back door. There's monkeys that are around and wild dogs. I mean, there's a lot of things around. And when we start to think about or dwell on those things and, you know, our ability to make sure that we protect our kids and keep them safe and, you know, are doing everything right, we start to forget about the one who has all authority. And we start to think, or I start to think, that I'm the one that's supposed to have all authority. And I'm trying to do everything I can to make sure that things work out the way that I want them to. And then when something doesn't work out that way, or when something does happen, like one of us gets malaria, then what happens? What happens if my trust is then in me, in my ability to perform or my ability to produce? It can kind of wreck our world. And so we need to remember that Christ is the one who has all authority. Even today, it doesn't mean you have to go to Africa to think about that Christ has all authority. But even today, for us here, for us right now, when we walk out the door, we need to remember that Christ has all authority. And I'm not wishing this on anyone, but I mean, there could be an accident as soon as you pull out. A couple weeks ago, I guess it was a little while ago, it was in October when I was here, right in the church parking lot, there was an accident, right after the service. You never know what's going to happen. And so we need to remember that all authority has been given to Christ in heaven and on earth. And he gives us a mission. He gives us a commission to go. But he doesn't give us that before he tells us the authority that he has or the command that we're under. And so as a missionary myself, and maybe you yourself, a lot of times you think about those verses of go therefore, we need to go, we need to do. And that is the command that God has given us, to go and to make disciples. But if we are going and doing and trying to do that without remembering, without living our life in a way that reflects that Christ has all authority, already we've missed something. And so it's important that before we go or before we do something like make disciples or baptize or teach, that we understand, that we know that we're going with the authority of Christ. So as soon as we go out from here, we need to have that mindset. Like an athlete has a mindset when he is getting ready to get on the field. Like a worker has his mindset when he goes to work. I'm not at home anymore. You know, I'm going to put my mind to work. So we need to have our mindset on Christ. Christ, with his authority, gives to his disciples a command that anyone who's not a follower of Jesus can become one. So this is now the command that we have, that once we have our mindset, once we understand, once we know that all authority has been given to Christ, then it's important that we also have the mindset that everyone who understands that Christ is our authority, that we're called to go and make disciples, that it's important to remember that those people that we're going to, those places where we're going, the people that we're going to talk to, that we remember that the command that we have is that they also should be disciples, or they also should be like us. They should be followers of Christ also. They should understand that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Christ. And that's why we have this mission to go. I'd like to look at, this is kind of a Christmassy verse too, but in John chapter 1. So you could turn there in your Bibles if you want. In John chapter 1, verses 9 through 13, it says this: "The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God." A follower of Jesus believes Jesus and receives him. And this is the message that we get at Christmas time, that Christ came to be received, that he came to his own and his own did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. To help people follow Jesus, we also need to be following Jesus. If we want our neighbors to follow Jesus, if we want to shine our light in the neighborhood, we also need to make sure that we're following Jesus. And this means that even in our conversations and even in our thoughts, we need to remember and we need to believe, we need to have a resolve that Christ has all authority. So that even as we talk with our neighbors and they hear about our lives and our circumstances and what's going on, that they also understand that although our lives are not perfect and in our lives, we face the same troubles that they face, that we know the one who has all authority. And that we know that he's there for us, that he's the one that's going to help us through it. It's not enough to just know that Jesus came. I think probably if you asked a lot of people about Christmas and asked who the baby was, I'm sure a lot of people could give you the name Jesus. You know, that was baby Jesus. So it's not enough to know. In John it says, "But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." We must believe and we must receive. We need to believe that Jesus is who he says he is. We need to believe Jesus' word. When we read or when we see a passage or a portion in Scripture, we're kind of faced with a question or maybe a dilemma. Am I going to believe this, or am I not going to believe this? And this is exactly the question that you're faced with when you read Matthew chapter 28. And you see that Christ says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." So the question then that you're faced with is, are you going to believe that? Are you going to believe that Jesus has all authority, or are you not going to believe that? And it's easy to say, yeah, I believe that. That's the word of God. I believe it. But does your life really show that you really believe that? Are you willing, maybe as the phrase is, are you willing to put your money where your mouth is? Are you really willing to show or to live your life in a way that shows other people that I believe what the Lord says? And so today, even this morning, you're going to be now faced with that question. Are you willing to believe what the Word of God says? That Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. I didn't even mention that at the end of those, that Jesus says, and lo, I'll be with you always. So not only does he have all authority, but he'll also be with you always. And he's gone into heaven so that the Holy Spirit can be with us and be our teacher and our guide. So he'll be with us always, and he has all authority. So are we going to believe that? Are we willing to take Christ at his word? Are we willing to receive Christ? To believe in Christ and to receive him. There's no special formula or prayer to give your life and yourself to the Lord. In John it says, to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And that invitation is open even today, even this morning. That if you have never believed in Christ, if you have never received him into your life, you can do that today. You can turn from your sin. You can turn to Christ, seeking forgiveness for your sin, because Christ already paid the penalty for that sin. And that's the good news of Jesus Christ, that to all who did receive him, he gave the right to become children of God. The message is the same whether we're here in the States or whether we're in Malawi, that each one of us has the option to believe in Jesus Christ, to receive him, to understand that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him, that he'll be with us always. And that invitation is open for you, for anyone that's here. And it's my prayer that if you haven't received him, that even this morning that you would receive him. That as we've just come through this time, this season of Christmas, where I'm sure you've heard the stories, even in Sunday school this morning, we read the Christmas story, the beginning of it. You've heard it, but have you received it? Have you made it your own? Have you believed in his name? And if you've done that, then the question becomes, what are you going to do with that? From today, from this point, how are you going to live like all authority in heaven and on earth belongs to Christ? And that question is going to have to be answered by you. I can't answer that question for you. I'm still trying to answer that question for me every day. What does that mean for me? And for where the Lord has us right now, that means Malawi, but that means a whole lot of other things too. And it's not easy, and it's difficult, and there are things that we face all the time, that then I start to question, what's really going on here? You know, why is this happening this way? We have a lot of problems with local chiefs and the politics that happens with chiefs in different villages. They're kind of like a mayor or a governor, but they also kind of have the right of a king, that if they don't want you there, they can just kind of snap their fingers and you're told to leave. Or they can say, I'm going to give a portion of your land to somebody else, or I'm going to take one of your cows and give it to somebody else. And when things like that happen, and I hear that things like that happen at different places where we work with teen missions, whether it's with us or a neighbor that's next to us, those are the times where I'm really forced to remember, but who's the one who has all authority? Who's the one that's in control of all of this? And how is this going to be used? How can this be used in my life? How can I use this opportunity to be a witness for Christ? How can I use this thing that's happened, whether it's bad or wrong or whatever, but how can I use this opportunity that the Lord has given me to be a witness for Him, to let my light shine? And that's the question that I'd like to leave you with this morning. That as you start this new year, as you're looking ahead now towards 2019, what is the Lord calling you to do? What is the Lord calling me to do? And how can we live our lives in a way that shows that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Christ, and therefore we've been commissioned and sent to go? I'd just like to say another word of thanks for all of you that are partnering with Emily and I, that have supported us, that have prayed for us, that have sent encouraging letters or emails to us, because there are a lot of days where things are tough, and you guys are a part of our team in helping us get through it. And so we appreciate everything that you guys are doing for us and in partnership with us. We'll be around even after the service today, so if you have any questions, other questions about what we're doing and how it works with us being a part of Teen Missions and what happens there, please feel free to ask us any questions. We have a table downstairs with some other information on it also that has some of our information. There are cards with our picture on it that we would love for each one of you to take and maybe just put it on your refrigerator or whatever to remember to pray for us and the work that's going on there. If you don't receive an email from us, we send out an email about every month that just kind of is a brief update of what's going on, what happened in the last month, and how things are moving forward or struggles that we're facing and ways you can pray for us too. So if you didn't get the chance to see the table downstairs also, you could go down there and see it. We also have some things that we brought back from Malawi that are there for donation. So if you want to donate something that'll help with our support too, please feel free to take any of those things down there also. And then I'd just like to pray for us as I go. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for having all authority. We know that we can trust in you because you're the one that holds the whole world, the whole universe in your hands. And we know that you love us. And we've seen the ways that you have provided for us and cared for us. And Lord, you have given us this truth that you have all authority. And Lord, I just pray that this morning, that even right now, that it wouldn't be an encouragement to each one of us. That as we face different things in our life, different hardships and troubles, problems, that we would remember that you have all authority, that you're there for us, that you care for us, that you know the number of hair that is on our head, whether it's just one or two, or whether there's tons and tons, and that you are there for us. Lord, I pray that you would encourage anyone who may be discouraged this morning, that you would draw them closer to you and remind them of the truth that you have all authority, and that even in the days ahead that come tomorrow and the next day, even into the new year, that you would continue to remind us, that you would remind me of these verses that you hold all authority. And we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, we thank you that all authority is yours. We thank you that you have given to us the privilege of trusting in you as our personal Lord and Savior, and that we can share that good news with those that we know with the confidence that that authority is still yours and that their response is yours to give. And so we pray, Lord, that we might be confident in our witness for you and about you. We pray, Lord, that you would bless our time of fellowship to follow. And we pray that we might be a blessing to Seth and Emily and their family on a regular basis. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.